But before we went to break, we were joined by Dr. Steve, who is a professor of medicine at State University. Give him a big round of applause for being a part of the show. And we're talking about the flu virus. And when we say flu virus, we got to make sure we identify which ones we're talking about. There's the H1N1 virus. There's the typical influenza, and I say typical, but the annual influenza that's here that kills about 32 to 37,000 people every single year. But there's conflicting information that's coming out because when we lump flu and we just say the word flu, and then we throw in swine flu, it starts to make people wonder which one they're talking about. Recently, as early as recent as July, you know, the CDC has come and found that there is some Tamiflu medication-resistant strain of the virus, though it affected only about 10 young people, two girls that were cabin mates at a camp in North Carolina. You know, there's no telling what may happen over the next couple of months. Dr. Steve, what do we need to know, number one, about this resistant strain of the flu? And number two, I asked as recently as yesterday, we reported that 2,500 students at Washington State University have come down with flu-like symptoms already, and school just started August 24th. Is this what we need to be looking at for this coming fall?
Yes, absolutely. Well, both of those are really interesting questions. What happened with the two girls at the camp was that the medical director of the camp decided that he was going to give every person at that camp Tamiflu. So there were 600 people that all got Tamiflu, and he figured, well, we're just not going to have influenza here during the camp season on my watch.
And wait, let's make sure we understand and everybody listening knows Tamiflu is not a viral agent. It's not a vaccination agent. Tamiflu is a treatment once you have it. So you don't give Tamiflu preventatively. You give it post, incubation or something, correct?
Well, you can give it preventatively. That's one of the problems with it. It's been touted as a prevention for influenza because what it does is it basically prevents the virus from reproducing inside your body. So it can be given as a preventative, but it's not supposed to be given to normally healthy people as a prevention. And this case in North Carolina is just very illustrative of why you don't do that, because when you have everyone on Tamiflu, what's going to emerge are going to be Tamiflu-resistant viruses. I mean, it's a test tube.
For mutation.
A classic case of how you develop resistant viruses is you throw medication at people who don't need it, and then the virus really has no choice but to develop immunity to it if it's going to survive. And you know, viruses got to live too. So there you go.
Okay, so the
mistake that was made in that case was by giving normally healthy people Tamiflu to try to prevent it as a group, and it just doesn't work that way.
And here I go with my little, not conspiracy theorist, but sci-fi theory, but is this getting ready to prompt some huge mutation in the H1N1 virus? You know, we get a whole bunch of people running around here, you know, viral resistant. It's like you said, it's a test tube for mutation. So it mutates, and oh my goodness, we got 2,500 people that don't just have the sniffles. We have 2,500 people in the hospital.
Sure. Well, the good news is that they tested the families of these kids who had the H1N1 Tamiflu-resistant virus, and none of them came down with the resistant virus. So this the resistant virus apparently is not very transmissible. There was one case in Australia where a guy had H1N1 Tamiflu resistance. He was immune-suppressed. In other words, he didn't have a very good immune system, and he got the flu twice.
All right.
The first time he took it.
Though this may have happened, we haven't seen this mutation in the fact that it's viral resistance or medication resistance. We haven't seen that across the board. That will be limited, but we're still going to see, you know, there were estimates, you know, about 2 weeks ago that 90,000 people could die this year from flu, H1N1. That number has now been back down. They're thinking that they could see and anticipate around 20,000 deaths. I don't think anybody really knows, or do they know? What do we know, Doc?
Well, what we know is that older people in this country have probably been exposed to a very similar virus to this in the past. And if you remember, Monta, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but in the 70s, we had a swine flu pass through this country. And that may be the reason why older folks are not being as as affected by this virus as younger adults are.
Because they've already had some feel, it's already kind of passed through their body and they built
right,
up
they may resistance. Already have some resistance
Got
to it.
It.
Mm-hmm. Now, in everyone else, this is a novel virus. So even though it's not as deadly as the regular seasonal flu, more people are going to get it. So you may have higher numbers of people who actually die from it, but even though it's got a lower death rate, just because more people are getting it.
Got it.
If you think about the pandemic in 1918, the world population was 1.5 billion at the time. A third of the population got the virus, so 500 million people got it. And of those people, 10% of them died. So they had 50 million people die that year from influenza worldwide. Now, back then, they didn't have Tamiflu. We still have that, except for 13 cases that we know of. They didn't have Relenza, which still, even the Tamiflu-resistant viruses are still sensitive to Relenza. That's the other antiviral medication that we have. And they didn't have modern medical care. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have your show to tell people that this thing was coming. You know, back then they hardly had decent newspapers. So I don't think that you'll ever see anything like that ever again.
Well, if people make sure that they pay attention to some things that are really simple for all of us individually to do, and that is things like cough in your sleeve,
yes,
carry tissues in your pocket,
wash
your hands, keep your butt home if you don't feel good. I got to tell you, Doc, I was on an airplane the other day, and I swear to you, I wanted to take my pillow or a book and throw it at a guy who was sitting back in seat 3A. I was in 2C on the other side of the aisle, but homie was screaming, sneezing. It was one of those sneezes, not you know, like achoo. No, he had one of those. And did it three times. And the first time he did, I looked back at him. I said to myself, he didn't put his hand over his mouth. I thought because I caught it after his mouth opened.
Great. But, you're in an enclosed environment.
Oh yeah. 20 seconds later, he just blatantly did a big old right against the back of the chair.
Yeah.
People, I mean, yeah, can't we be, you know, decorum or manners police? We should just walk around and arrest people like that. I'm going to get busted for saying that.
I don't disagree with you. I think definitely if you're having that kind of problem and you have to travel, at least wear a face mask and be courteous to everybody.
And keep it to yourself. Doc, I got to say thank you enough. I got some other things we got to cover here today. Thank you. We'll keep updating our listeners every single day about what they can do and how important it is for us to bear the personal responsibility of cleanliness and paying attention to being responsible citizens walking around, and take care of your neighbor. I got to say thanks, big thanks to Dr. Steve. Give him a big round of applause for being a part of Montel Across America today. We'll update you some more on swine flu and give you some more information. I got to tell you,